Coming up on TMS, the things that yell at me in my house.
I've got the high ground, Anakin. You're a dumbass.
The calendar game is so dated.
Skeletor mocks your pain.
I need a COVID vaccine.
How to cover furniture complete with nudity.
Is that a mask or is it the lower half of your face?
Scott's eye and tweet both go semi-viral.
A package of follow-up jerky.
My potato arm is always in the way.
Pull the toe to make sure.
A rear view window on the Tesla neighbors.
Of course it works. I'm not a chump.
I don't even know who the tadpole is anymore.
Using acid with Bill.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Die Sendung wurde am 23. Dezember 2020 im Internationalen Logistikzentrum zur Weiterbeförderung in das Zielland übergeben.
And it smells bad too.
The Morning Stream. Sweep the leg.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the NBC.
NBC.
The more you know. Hey, welcome to TMS. There's no NBC here. We're not affiliated with any official network. No. Cable or otherwise. So welcome to what we do here at the Frog Pants Network with PMS, the Morning Stream, Monday,
but
January
But Amazon,
11th.
If you'd like to throw us some of that Wondery money,
oh yeah,
we'd be all over it.
That'd be fine. Yeah. They're saving on some bandwidth here recently in the last day or so. Won't get into that, but since they are, they can throw it our way.
Okay.
That's fine. Let's do that. Hey, it's January 11th, 2020, and it's me, Scott, and him, Brian. Hi, Brian. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. Welcome to a brand new week.
Is it? It is, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I guess yesterday technically is the beginning of a brand new week, depending on what day you've set your WordPress calendar to start with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. Do you... actually, this is a great question that is totally boring, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Oh, good. Excellent.
What calendar interface do you prefer when doing appointments, making calendars? Do you go Google Calendar? Do you do iCal? Like, where's your head at? What do you use?
I do iCal only because of how integrated it is with the things that yell at me in my house.
Gotcha. Okay, so you've got a whole ecosystem going with your calendar.
Got the ecosystem where we've got separate calendars. So, you know, when Tina puts, recycling's been moved to this day, then I know what day to put boxes out and stuff like that.
Right. That's good. I feel like that's the reason I ask, is I feel like I need to up my game when it comes to how I use that particular part of my life, because right now I just have whatever's in front of me. So I have an app that's like Gigantical or some dumb name, but I like it because it's just a really easy interface, but it just interfaces with Google Calendar and iCal anyway.
Yeah.
Or not, they don't call it iCal anymore, do they? What's it called?
No, I think it's just called Calendar.
It's just Apple Calendar. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use that because that just happens to be in front of me. Sometimes I'm on the web and I'm using the Google Calendar interface. And sometimes I'm doing invites by Gmail and it's just kind of all over the place. And yesterday I realized I don't really have a good calendar game.
Yeah. I mean, my Google email accounts are tied to my iCloud account. So if one of my clients sends a meeting request to my work email, it goes into iCal automatically, or Apple Calendar.
Yeah, it just saves calendar. Right in there, right? That's what
my
you
God.
Want.
This picture, I guess, never mind. It's a film sec thing. I'm like, this picture of Artie Lang, I just want to remove it, but it's, never mind. I've got the wrong chat up. I need.
You're in the wrong chat.
Yeah, I'm in TMS. There we go.
Yeah.
The picture of Artie Lang.
The recent Artie Lang stuff where his nose is all mushed up into a potato.
It's his nose looks like the top of a Dairy Queen soft serve cone.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of want to say, what's that coated in? Is that dipped? Is that a dip cone you got going there? Turns out
it's been dipped.
it's been dipped in a fair amount of cocaine over the years. But
that's right.
That guy is, he's like a cat. He just goes on. So
yeah,
more power to him.
He was great, great sidekick, or I don't want to call him a sidekick, but he was a longtime member of the Howard Stern In Studio group.
Yeah.
So it's Howard and Robin and Artie and Fred and everybody. And he was hilarious. Like they go back over the holidays. They were playing some old interviews and things like that. I love Howard Stern interviews. And Artie would pipe in with some just great jokes and bits.
He's a funny guy. Funny, but turns out that guy, he's a hoot.
He's a hoot. He just has, he's got his issues, man. He's got his demons.
Yeah, those drugs, they don't give up. I'm going to give you this. Here, this picture I'm putting in is
him. Are you going to put another picture that we're never going to unsee?
Well, this one's nice because this is him in recovery.
Is that already now? Jeez.
Yeah, that's 7 months, 7 months sober.
Okay.
And
reconstructive surgery looks like maybe?
A little bit. Lost a bunch of weight. Looking better.
He looks like he's wearing a mask with the lower half of a face on it, though.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, yeah, it totally does.
Things haven't matched up color-wise. Like, they need to do a little smoothing.
Yeah.
A little nudge tool or blend tool.
Just a little bit. A little filter. A little filter.
Yeah.
Chat room here. The picture we were talking about from before, this was kind of it is at rock bottom for him. But
be prepared.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I hope he gets better.
I do too.
Seems like a teddy bear of a man. Just
totally does, yeah.
Just likes the snorting of the drugs.
Mm-hmm. The snorting.
Need another, we need some dream therapy.
Okay.
Is there a band called Dream Therapy? There should be.
There's a band called Dream Theater.
Yeah, that's true. You love them.
And I think after I would listen to a Dream Theater album, I would need some dream therapy. How long? Boy, if Dream Theater songs are like 9 to 11 minutes average, how long would Dream Therapy songs be? I mean, that'd just be one. Here's an album. It's got one song on it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking here. I don't see a band called Dream Therapy. Maybe it's open. Maybe it's available. Grab it while it's hot, everybody, whoever has a band. Anyway, I've lately been having the weirdest dreams, and I think it's a combination of just sort of, you know, dealing with the modern day strife. And my brain trying to process stuff overnight or whatever. I've actually slept really well, but dreaming, you know.
Dreaming.
So like sleeping.
I'm amazed. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I don't know why, but I don't remember my dreams. I'm sure I have them. And I think I remember that there was something going on in my head.
Sure. You remember a vague of shadow of what happened.
I do. Night. And occasionally I'll wake up and be like, oh, that was really weird.
Well, mine are psycho and I can't get them out of my head. For example, here's one for you. I had a dream last night that all my pipes froze in the house. Okay. Uh-huh. So like all the water pipes, which isn't actually that unusual. If you forget to turn off your external hoses in climates like mine and yours, you can freeze your pipes or, you know, create a fracture, which means flooding and all that's bad. Ugh. So we're always really careful about that. And I know we've done ours because I did them. So it's not like I was thinking, oh, no, I forgot to do the thing with the pipes and it's cold now or whatever. But for whatever reason, I have this dream. All the pipes freeze. And instead of there being flooding or just a little bit of a spew outside the house or whatever, you know, whatever the problem would be, the house itself cracked into 8 giant chunks. So like imagine... Brian, imagine you have a giant block of ice and you drop it on the cement and it just sort of separates into however many pieces.
Right. A clean separation, not a shatter, but a clean separation into like.
Yes. Misshapen like chunks. Like they're large, not the same size chunks necessarily, but they're all individual formed chunks. The house just went into 8 of these and just laid there. And here's the weirdest part of the dream. That part, all of that is just stressy stuff. Like, oh no, what do I do? And. You know, it's not that unusual. Where it gets weird is Tesla neighbor the whole time is outside laughing at me, but not just laughing at me. And he's pointing and laughing. He's doing it in Skeletor laugh voice. So that whole thing like that.
Your house fell apart, you boob.
Yeah, you boob, you imbecile. Like it was that kind of thing. But he's hanging upside down from his leg in the tree in the backyard. So the house goes clunk into 8 pieces, and he's hanging upside down going like this.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to make of that. I got nothing. I got nothing.
I don't know. I mean, the house splitting apart into pieces feels like it's got to be something, right? I mean, it's got to be. It feels like that doesn't even have to be like, well, it could be this or this or this. It feels like in the book.
Right.
A house splitting apart into even chunks, big chunks, is absolutely indicative of something.
Something. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably like just trying to keep everything together and then you're just worried it's all going to fall apart. Maybe it's as simple as that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
know.
Why really Tesla neighbors involved? We're on good terms with the guy. It's anyway, not like he's
any new news? Like, is everything going okay with Tesla neighbors? No.
Yeah,
okay.
Waving at him, and you know, the other day they were
picture Scott with a broken leg sitting in a wheelchair. Mary, I think the Tesla neighbors are arguing again. Well, I can't find Mrs. Lonelyheart's dog. It's missing. What happened to the dog?
I got to get down to the savings and loan. Like, exactly. Like there's been none of that. They've been great. You know, I mean, we haven't really talked to them or anything, but they're just fine. They're, I don't know, man. I woke up from that about, I don't know, 6 a.m. Felt like middle of the night, but it was only 6. And I thought, well, I just have to pee. So I'm just going to pee. Yeah. And then we'll see what happens after that. And then I conked back out for another hour.
Did you really?
Yeah, wow. I went to sleep till 7, and I didn't wake up, didn't have another dream. It was fine. It was actually kind of nice. It was a nice, restful hour of additional sleep. And then got up at 7 and said, all right, dogs are going to shit themselves. We don't get this taken care of. And got wrong with my day.
I wish I could sleep past 5:30. I stayed up until like 11:30 doing the two weeklies with the raid team, and I knew I was going to regret it. I'm like, no, let's just do it. Let's just get it done, because I don't want to. Today's going to be a busy day with work, and I don't want to pug and all that sort of thing.
How late do they usually go? Like 10 usually? That seems a little
11. Usually 11.
Okay.
Yeah. And last night we did the first one. Did two dungeons. Did the first one, and it was 10 o'clock, and I was thinking, oh, cool, I can actually go to bed at a decent time. And then they said, all right, you guys want to do the other one?
Oh.
Like, oh, man.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather do it with you guys than you know, pug a group and have to fit it on a busy day. So, yeah, I just went in and did it. Yeah. But then got to bed at 11:30. Still watched an episode of Community because I couldn't fall asleep right away. And yet, no matter how late I stay up, 5:30, my eyes are open and I am not getting back to sleep.
You got that biological permanent alarm thing. It's just
pretty
set.
Much. Yeah.
You're never going to get around it unless what you need is another.
I need to move to a state where 5:30 is really 7:30.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
That's right. You need to move to the Eastern time zone, either that or like get a good 2-week trip to, like, I don't know, Italy or something. And then it'll F it all up backwards and forwards. And then you can reset it.
A 1-week trip to Ireland is in the cards for 2021 as soon as...
What's the date for you going there? When are you going to Ireland?
Like 2 months after my first vaccination dose is scheduled, basically. I mean, we can't put a date on anything until we know what the schedule is. Tina's on the calendar as far as getting her, her vaccine, but I, you know, I'm not, I'm nobody, Scott. I don't get a vaccine until the masses get there.
Yeah,
their vaccine.
Well, we probably won't. Well, I mean, I have no idea what to guess. Everyone's saying like summer, but if I had to guess, well, I mean, probably summer. I don't know, but Ireland's calling your name. They want you to come, Brian. You got to get over there.
The green Isle. Yeah, we were thinking, Claire, that I was going to get the vaccine. Because it was going to be like a household thing. You know, if somebody in the household who works for essential services gets the vaccine, then people in their household would get it. Everybody in their household would get it as well. But
you'd think. Is that not the case?
That's not the way it's working here, no.
Boo. Boo. Yep. Boo, I say. Yeah. So what's their thinking there? Just because if she's got it, she's inoculated against it.
Mm-hmm.
And assuming that those new strains...
She can still transmit it. Like, she can't, once she's vaccinated, she can't get sick from it, but she can still spread it. So, you know, she goes and sees a client or assisted living place or something where somebody's got it, and she can bring it back home to me. But,
mush it right into your life. Well, hopefully they hurry the hell up. So,
yeah, exactly.
That'd be great. My understanding is there's still quite a bit of backlog in terms of it's not the holdup is in various places, not where you think it is. It's not just we're getting them through as fast as we can. It's not that. It's kind of like, yes, the drive-in is full of cars, but also the burgers are in Cleveland and we're trying to get them on a truck.
It's kind of what it, well, from what I've heard, and I could be wrong on this, is that McDonald's has all the burgers and they're all sitting there in the drive-thru window, but they're just having a hard time getting the cars through fast enough to get to hand the burgers out.
Yeah. Got to figure out where your, what do they call that? Your, choke points, not choke points.
Yeah. Your bottleneck.
Bottleneck. That's it.
Yeah.
Choke neck, bottleneck, whatever. I knew it was like a first-person shooter thing. Both those things. I used to,
that's right, exactly.
I used to say that a lot.
Line of sight pole, yeah.
Yeah. What? Well, anyway, so there's that. Hey, you watched one of Nicole's recommendals. I always like hearing about
these. I did. Oh, it's so good, too. How To with John Wilson on HBO Max.
There are
six episodes. We've watched the episodes. We've watched the first four of them, and it is as good as Nicole described. It's so bizarre. Like, okay, basically the 30-minute episodes, and they have these silly little titles like How To Do Small Talk, How To Put Up Scaffolding, and that's what the initial part of the show is, maybe the first few minutes, and then this, it goes down this weird tangent of, well, I met this guy when I was learning how to do small talk who is who hunts down child predators. And we're going to go to his house and see what he's doing. And then we're going to go to do this. And then we're going to go on this other thing. And it is so good. And I think, because it's basically this guy, John Wilson, takes his camera with him everywhere. And he is always filming, like always filming.
That's his whole thing, right?
Just his whole thing. And he's just got tapes and drives and stuff filled with this stuff. And so as he's doing his narration, he's showing like B-roll footage and things that he's recorded in New York that fit the whatever he's talking about, even though it may not have been at the time that he was putting this documentary together, each episode together.
Wow.
It is so good. And if you haven't watched it, and I'm gonna warn you right now, which episode was it? I think it started out with How To Cover Furniture. There is some nudity, male nudity that is both awkward and hilarious at the same time.
Sweet. Man wiener, you're saying.
Lots of man. Well, yes, lots of man
wiener. A portion of man wiener. Okay. All right.
A portion of man wiener. But it's done in a way that you won't be able to stop laughing at how weird and awkward it is.
Okay. I cued this. I just haven't watched it yet. So now that you've both, pushed
just
the button.
Be warned that you probably don't want to watch it with Carter.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Carter, don't watch this with me. I'll tell her.
Would you watch the first Borat with Carter?
Oh,
that whole like wrestling scene between Borat and his manager.
I mean, she's old enough now. I'd still be embarrassed though. You know, like it'd be embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch that with her. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to see. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how old your kids get. It's never comfortable. Ever.
No, it really isn't. Yeah. No. And as a matter of fact, it might even get.
It's comfortable.
It's going to stay the same level of awkward and uncomfortable that it would be as kids with their kids. And
at least with kids, you're in a position of saying, "Oh, okay, blah, blah, pause, fast forward." You know, you can kind of be a big weenie about it. But when they're older, they're like 23, sitting on your couch and you're watching something, and suddenly there's a scene. You just kind of go, "Oh,
yeah, okay. No, that's pretty much it."
And then now, if somebody wants to write in and tell me, "Oh, Scott, you're so uppity tight. Here at our house, me and my adult children, we watch pornography together."
I feel like the only way to really teach them about pornography is to
watch it with me. That's how parents, a true parent, does it. Watch Backdoor Number 8 with your daughter.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
Do you want to play a game?
Yes, let's do that.
I want to play one. Problem is, I forgot to open the thing I need to do that. So let's do that. Google. Shoot, I thought I had this up. Sorry, everyone. Just hold on to your butts. Turns out I was ill-prepared. Oh, there we go. Google Voice. All right. Oh, don't play that. All right. Now I got to make sure that Chrome is being heard. Yes, it is. All right. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Now I just got to call Dunaway. And then wait for
By the
phone
way,
call.
The thing people were asking, How To with John Wilson on HBO Max.
Oh, How To. Okay.
How To with John Wilson.
You know, DIYs or DYIs.
No, you had it right. DIYs. Do it yourself.
Wait. Do yourself it. Yeah, you're right. It's yeah. DIY.
You're thinking about FYI, which is,
is what I'm thinking
your
of.
Information.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And that's dumb that I was doing that. All right. Dunaway incoming. And we'll dive into this pool feet first here. Here we go. I called him. Okay. Minute. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Babble Royale. Or in this case today, we're playing a little bit of the... what do we call it?
Tadpooley Feud.
Anyway, we're going to play that. We got Brian Dunaway with us, who joins us all the way from South Carolina, as he always does on Mondays and Wednesdays. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, man, can PG? I even tell you how great we're doing? We're doing great. How are you? You're
Please
great.
Please tell me that you're doing great
we're doing
and not
great.
Just making up BS.
I think we're doing great. I'm a little I'm a little off my timing.
You guys ever get it when you leave at, okay, so on the show.
Yeah.
I have to bring up my energy level like
Go.
A lot.
Yeah.
Because I don't just walk around acting like the fool that I do on the show, right? So then when I leave my facilities, my office, and I'm all like, you know, I'm exhausted, I'm walking outside, and you're like, why are you all so happy in there and come out here, you're so sad? I'm like, I'm not sad. I'm just tired.
Just tired. You know, it wears you
I'm
out.
I'm just Look, tired.
If anyone, whenever anyone says, what's it like doing a show every day?
Right.
And my answer is, well, there's all the joyful answers. There's lots of reasons why to love it. It's a blast. I love doing the show.
Love it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest things I ever decided to ever want to be involved with. Love it. However, there is no denying that it is draining, mentally draining. Yeah. So by the time mm-hmm. this thing's over, sometimes I look at the rest of my day and go, oh, F you right off.
Yeah, no, two or three hours in a row yeah. of being on.
Yeah, it's hard.
Is exhausting.
Yeah, it's
retail
hard.
Retail workers know what I'm talking about because you don't have to be like a podcaster. Retail workers know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they know.
When you're in the public eye and you're out there on the floor, you know, servicing the customers and you have to be on point for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You're exhausted yeah. when you go home.
Servicing yeah. those customers, if you know what I'm saying.
No, it's hey, totally yeah. true.
But yeah. I've been off for a couple Great of days, shows. So... This is the real Brian. Brian's got energy. Let's do
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's get this caller on the line and find out what the heck's going on. Thanks for being so patient. Who's this?
This is the Obi-Wan in the chat.
The LB-1.
The Obi-Wan.
I heard L. All right. Right. The Obi-Wan. Oh, my gosh. You're the one that said, I've got the higher ground, Anakin. You're a dumbass. kicked him in the lava.
Kiss
or whatever
my lava.
Kiss my lava. Anyway, it's good to have you here. Welcome to the show. We're going to try to win you some prizes and have some fun while we're at it. Brian, do you want to explain how this works?
That's right, Scott. It's time to play the Tadpooley Feud. I don't have the music queued up. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Obi-Wan, appropriately, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. And if your team wins, you get a prize package that includes Zwei, Z-W-E-I, two games from Steam. This is a really cool JRPG about a vampire queen or vampire princess. I watched some gameplay
I've
this
never
morning.
Seen this one. This is interesting.
It is really cool. And it's very Final Fantasy looking, but really gorgeous backgrounds. Kind of looks like Wild Arms. Reminds me of Wild Arms a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I do know what this is. I've seen this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get both the Ilvard Insurrection and the Argus Adventure, both games, if you are today's winner.
That all sounds like real stuff
Man,
to
if
me.
You don't know these games, you just said a whole bunch of words that make no sense whatsoever.
Yes. The Ilvard Insurrection.
That's right. Well, all right. That seems like decent prizes.
Yes. And now let's give you your question. I'll put a link in our discussion channel there. You should have it in Discord in the other chat room. In the meantime, I'll tell you, we asked our... hold on a second, I guess, because you guys need to have your... You need to log in and have your hands on your buzzers because the new page actually has built-in buzzers and sounds.
Oh, what?
Oh, look at you, Ibbit.
Okay.
Every day, you impress me.
Al-Kabab who put this thing together. So,
then look at you. Good job.
Mine's not opening. Right. I don't know why. It's just sort of.
You're using that link I put in there?
Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, goody. Good to be tech support today. Sweet.
Yeah.
Is it working for you, Bren?
Of course it is.
No. What a chump. Is it really? It's not loading for me. Hold on. Let me try one more time. Try a fresh one.
Oh, did you get that?
Yeah,
did
I
you
hear get that the
buzzer?
Yeah,
I hear sweet. That
I didn't hear the
Scott,
buzzer.
Scott won't yet because he's not logged in. But,
I'm using Opera GX. Scott, what are you using? Safari?
Firefox.
Oh, this should work. That's a Chromium-based browser, which everything is now.
Yeah. It's just hanging, man. I got nothing.
Reload without content blockers?
You know what? That could be it. That totally could be it.
Turn on the internet.
Let me
did you turn it off and on again?
Use the internet.
My son called Ethan, and he's 20-ish. Yeah. And he had a tech problem on the computer. And like before I even had a chance to say, did he restart it? He told me I restarted it already. He was
good.
On
that's,
it.
Yeah. That's the,
okay.
He knew better.
Oh, I think it may have been it. I think the content blockers were doing it. All right. So we got username. Sorry, everybody. Hold on to your butts here. Oh, this password is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Sorry. Save that password because it's going to be the same every time. If you get the option to
get out of here. Really?
To save password. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then enter your own name.
Okay. I'm adding my name.
But not if her name is Brian. Then enter your last name.
Oh, look
name.
At this. This is great.
This is cool.
Yes. This is great. Okay.
We asked, top 10 answers on the board. We asked the tadpool, who is the funniest? Now, hands on buzzers or hands on.
Wait. Click it. Yeah.
We asked the tadpool, who is the funniest Saturday Night Live cast member of all time? Oh. All right. Brian Dunaway buzzed in. What's your answer?
Whatever.
Will Ferrell.
Show me Will Ferrell.
Number two
on the board. There's one answer that can beat it, Scott.
Show me Chris Farley.
Oh,
show me Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Number one answer on the board. Scott, you've got the option to pass or play.
Okay, I'm going to stop being an idiot, and I'm going to pass this time. Because I've screwed this up a lot lately, so I'm passing.
All right.
I want destiny in my own hands. Nope, give
all
it
right,
to Brian.
So, Brian, you're gonna be playing. Let's see. Do I do this? Okay, look at that.
Okay.
Even keep score. Not like not like these points matter. All right, Brian. Tell me who all else. Right. Like we got the top two covered. What other people did the tadpool say were the funniest SNL cast members of all time?
Now, Will Ferrell is one of my favorites, but not necessarily I didn't think it's the funniest, but I was trying to think what the tadpool would think and trying to migrate in that area. So I'm going to say that they find, Kenan Thompson, generation after generation. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's a big, wide swath.
It is. And he's been on forever.
Possibility. Absolutely. Right.
All right, show me Kenan Thompson.
Oh man,
that's a bummer. Well, you got
people
one
said
more
him,
of
but not didn't
not
rank
enough
him to yeah.
All right, well let's put our second tester and see what kind of tadpoolery we have here. If you think Adam Sandler is the funniest, maybe that's the direction these people
all right.
With.
Show me Adam Sandler.
Oh my gosh, no, really?
Not the tadpool, dude.
Oh
they
my
gosh, like
I don't even know who the tadpool is anymore. Then.
Just outside the top 10 is Adam Sandler. So,
yeah.
All right, this is your
sense.
Chance
gosh.
To steal. Scott and Obi-Wan, you can work together. It's Obi-Wan or Obi-Wan? Obi-Wan, right?
Obi-Wan?
Obi-Wan?
Yeah, okay, cool. You guys can work together to try and come up with any of the other 8 answers on the board.
Good Lord.
All right. My
okay, we've already got 2 strikes. This is really working out well for Scott.
Obi-Wan, I'm thinking like...
Wow.
Hey, shut up.
I forgot we have 2 strikes. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I
only get 2. What would you say? Because, I mean, Eddie Murphy hops to my head, but that's also kind of old school, so I don't know if that would even hit or not.
I'm not big on the SNL, and I don't know their names, but the guy who played Zap Brannigan...
Was gonna play
he was a classic.
You know what? Phil Hartman's a good answer. Let's go Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
All right. Show me Phil Hartman for the game.
Yeah.
Okay. So is dead SNL members that are popular. So
Will Ferrell's not dead.
Practically yeah, he's not dead. He's dead great. To me. No, I'm kidding.
What he is.
So right. John Belushi's got to be up here.
So hold on a second. Let me think real some quick. I want to think of like original cast members to see if any of them made it. So did like sure. Bill Murray on there? Four.
Oh, wow. See, I was totally off on the tadpole.
Yeah. Okay, how about Dan Aykroyd? Is he in there? Oh, look at this.
Oh, the tadpole's a lot older than I thought.
Yeah. They are. We found out the other day we did some averages. They're like 35 to 45 average or something.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why they're mature and nice and not dicks. They're not 20-year-old trolls. That's what's going on. Sorry, 20-year-olds.
That's right. 20-year-old trolls. Let's go through the rest of these. Number five. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, you said Eddie Murphy. Oh,
I love how Brian's invoking, Ibbot's invoking that kind of audience
reaction. That audience murmur. Yeah. Reading the answers, yes.
Let's do it together.
Yeah. Okay, ready? Yeah. Show me number seven.
John Belushi. Of course.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Dana Carvey. Every once in a while, I get that question mark of the audience. Dana Carvey.
Number nine.
Tina Fey. Oh, wait, I want to guess number 10.
Okay.
Will Forte.
Will Forte, I'm amazed. Nobody put. And I'm Bill really Hader? Surprised because Will Forte. Bill Hader was number 11.
Out of How is that? That's a crime.
Just outside. Yeah. Total crime.
That's a crime.
Here is your number 10.
Kay McKinnon. That's a good pick.
She is great. She's super versatile.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, the number of voices. But Bill Hader, Adam Sandler, Kristen Wiig, Gilda Radner, Mike Myers, Norm MacDonald, all like just out of the contention in the top 10 there.
So so just as a personal preference,
yes.
favorite, our own favorites without the tadpole, just our own favorite.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Phil Hartman, when I filled out the survey as a test to make sure it was working and also to put, you know, to get one vote in there, Phil Hartman was my pick.
He would have probably been my pick as well. I mean, that guy, I don't know what it was about Phil Hartman, but he just seemed like a singular voice in that show.
Just brilliant, brilliant wit.
But there's so many. There's too many. I love Norm MacDonald. I love everyone.
So I've got a couple of personal favorites that just are maybe don't really ring really high for a lot of people, like Andy Samberg.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was hilarious the whole time he was on SNL. Just doing some amazing
things. I'm surprised with Brooklyn Nine-Nine and how great he is. I was surprised he didn't rank higher. I mean, there just are some great names in this list.
He's John Belushi is good,
but I feel like Bill Hader probably should have been in the John Belushi spot on this list.
Yeah, where's Randy Quaid? Where's
oh my God, he's in Canada right now.
Randy Quaid. We've got Rachel Dratch, Chevy Chase, Kenan Thompson, Billy
Crystal. Tracy Morgan was like dominated for like years.
I love Tracy Morgan. He's
we only
great.
Had one person say Tracy Morgan. Sarah Silverman, Maya Rudolph, Martin Short, Kevin Nealon, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, John Mulaney.
I'm trying to find a way to find Kyle Mooney funny. He plays a straight man too.
Oh,
often
really?
For me.
I think you know what
he's hilarious, but he's a little too straight. It's hard to go.
Wait a minute. Who said Mulaney? Who said John Mulaney? John Mulaney can't be on there. He was a writer.
He was a writer, but
he was also
he did a couple of skits, right?
Did he?
Yeah, he would also do skits.
Wait a minute. I thought the whole deal was that he wrote and then everyone thought he'd be on, but then he left, and then he got huge as a stand-up, and then he came back to host, and that was the big joke, is that he skipped over being
in the cast. I never was a cast member. I'm thinking of just all the times that he was, that he hosted.
He's definitely hosted a lot lately, anyway. Norm MacDonald was on there. You bet he was Baton 216. He's great. We all love Norm.
Oh, yeah, Norm is in the list. Norm, five people...
I love Norm MacDonald, but he's just a train wreck waiting to happen. I love him.
Yeah, he's kind of a mess lately, but he's
but people also put John Candy, Richard Pryor, and Jim Carrey, Steve Martin on this list. None of whom.
No, Steve Martin guested a bunch, but he never.
They were hosts, but they were never.
Dennis Miller.
Well, Jim Carrey did a whole bunch of appearances this past year, but he wasn't really a host. So I mean, but he wasn't really a.
He wasn't a cast member. He was a special guest.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a fun topic. I enjoyed the hell out of that. But here's what I know for sure. I have to play this.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Obi-Wan. Oh, and to stave off some emails, we know that Phil Hartman didn't end up voicing Zap Brannigan. He was supposed to, but he died just before that all happened. So they gave it to Billy West, who was already on the thing.
It's funny because I will always, even though I know it's not Phil Hartman, I will always think that that's Phil Hartman. Like, not Mandela effect, but it'll always be in my head.
He was meant to play that role.
He read it like Phil Hartman, right?
I mean, yeah, he was meant to be
Billy
that
West
guy.
Is an amazing voice actor.
But he was meant to be that role. He should have been that role, and freaking F his crazy wife for shooting him, because he sucks. She sucks, I mean. All right, there you go. Congratulations. Now, here's what you got to do to collect your winnings, to get your Zwii games, okay? You got to send Brian an email. That's coverville@gmail.com, and he'll hook you up. How does that feel as a Jedi Master and listener of the show?
Feels great.
Oh, that's great, man.
Well, do that.
All my best to you, Anakin, and the rest there on Gilligan's Isle. Okay. Yeah. Brian, Dunaway, you did
going on in the chat room about Steve Martin never being a cast member. He was never a cast member. He was one of the first hosts, but he was never a cast member.
Yeah, and he was on there a lot doing that wild and crazy guy thing. He would do that sometimes out of nowhere, but it's a bit like saying, it's like saying Alec Baldwin. He's not a cast member, but he'll come and do Trump, right? Like, right. And host a lot. So Steve Martin. He is
basically
the,
John Goodman, Steve Martin, Alec Baldwin. They live close enough to the studios that when somebody bails halfway through their week, they can come in and fill in the spot.
That's right. Speaking of bailing, there's no bailing happening tomorrow. There'll be a Boop Show with me and Brian Dunaway. We're going to talk about what cool indie games we played over the weekend, and that'll be fun. So check us out then. And of course, we just put up a new film sack for Almost Famous. A very good movie. Don't go into that thinking we're just going to rip on it. We liked it a lot. And sometimes we get those movies on Film Sack, so go check that out as well. Brian Dunaway, anything else you want to say?
Absolutely. Check out my Twitch channel at twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. I'll be playing Unto the End on the Xbox Game Pass. It's the game I'm reviewing this week on the Boop Show. I'll be doing that later today.
What time did you say? You said
I will do it around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 Mountain, the only time zone that doesn't matter.
Oh, them's fighting words.
Best thing to do is just subscribe to Brian's channel so that you get notified whenever he goes live.
Damn straight. Bye bye. All right. Well, there you have it.
Yes.
I love the new thing. It worked great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all in one. So now I don't need to have Farrago, the soundboard thing open, and the app, and this and that. It's like
All in one little piece of work there. Very nicely That's done. Right. Who's it? Who did it again?
Alkebob. Alkebob.
Alkebob. Man.
Alkebob. Well and done. He's listening, so he's hearing me rave about how grateful I am. And also grateful to I don't have his name in front of me, the person who came up with another, like an alternative one, because he didn't know that somebody was in the process of working on this. But thank you for putting that together. And
that's what we have in the tadpole.
Now we just need some the orange and red color scheme from the actual Family Feud.
That's right.
To then, CSS our way in there.
Then we're set. By the way, Baton216 in the chat keeps asking if I've seen Yellowstone. I have, and I really like it. I mean, that's probably a shock to people who know my undying love.
A Kevin Costner Western thing that you like?
Yeah, it's a. I know. It's really a mind blower that I'm into it. But he can kind of do no wrong. So anyway, there's that. Hey, also, just real quick, people keep asking what's wrong with my eye. I have like some kind of cyst going. It's great.
Oh, I see that. Ew.
Yeah, it's real fun. I've been doing what everyone says to do, which is, you know, a hot rag on it every night and supposed to kill it eventually, but it's just driving me crazy. I can see it, Brian, in my vision.
I know.
Ugh, I don't like it. It's like a little boke it out little mountain right here.
Yeah, I put a little sticky note over the Zoom screen, so I don't have to look at it anymore.
I don't know what happened. It's so stupid. Doctor said that these aren't poopy eye. I asked. He says that they.
Did you ask the doctor?
Yeah, because it's not.
Could I have gotten this from poop in my eye?
He told me it's not conjunctivitis, which is the poop in your eye thing. He says this is basically an oil duct in my eyelid that got clogged, and I have a tendency to have that happen over here for some reason.
Okay.
So I gotta figure out what to do to try to prevent it. Anyway, good stuff, good times. Let's move on with a quick bit of news.
This is the info we've been waiting for.
The short version of news today is brought to you by...
Brought to you by America's Next Top Podcaster. We've got our 12 contestants. We've got our challenges all lined up. We've got the judges ready to judge. We've got the coach ready to coach. All we need to do is start recording, which we're going to be doing next week, which means it's not going to be too long before you're hearing brand new episodes of America's Next Top Podcaster. With all the editing and stuff, it takes a while to get those out. But if you're a patron, you get them a lot sooner. Go to patreon.com/America's Next Top Podcaster. Don't pull any money out of your TMS patronage.
No.
Just add on with America's Next Top Podcaster. And we'll see you in a couple weeks with brand new content.
Yes. New season begins now.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at the news.
Thank you to everybody who might be listening here who... applied to be a contestant. I'll reach out to.
Yeah. Have they all heard? All 12 know that they're in or no?
Yes, the 12 who got in know that they got in, but nice. The people who didn't, I still need to reach out and email everybody and say, sorry you didn't get in this time.
It's the part you just hate to do.
It is. There's so many parts of this. I hate the kicking off of people and I hate the...
I don't like it. I want everyone to be in.
You know what? This season... I'm going to say it's my favorite part. Now we're coming to my favorite part of the show where I kick one of you yahoos off.
Yeah, get the hell out. All right, here's a story about an Uber, because that's still a thing. You can still get Uber rides in places.
You totally can still get Ubers, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Brian's not running Lyft runs anymore. But
ooh, still have the sticker in my window.
Yeah. But, do you ever have people waiting around your cars if that's supposed to be their ride or anything?
Well, if I see a pretty lady standing on the side of the road, I roll down the window and say, did you call a Lyft?
Ooh.
Is your name Ashley?
Very nice. Oh, this is too funny. I just got a text about this. So I had a tweet that went semi-viral. I didn't mean it to, but...
Is this the one that was in that TikTok video?
No, that's another one. That's a different one. The one that went kind of semi-viral yesterday, which surprised me, is... maybe it shouldn't surprise me, but... it struck me that the dude who the one cop in the Capitol that seemed now based on the video footage seemed to know that if they go down that hall, that's the door to the chamber. That's bad. Mm-hmm. I need to pull them this direction. And it's just him. Right. There's not like a whole swath of cops right there. It's just him. And he figures out a way to get the tip of the angry spear to go that direction, which probably gave just enough time for them to get out of there, which means. Who knows? We don't know for sure, but I think that he probably saved a ton of lives, is my thinking. Because people came in there with handcuffs and weapons.
Oh, they were
and
zip ties and napalm and all that. Yeah. Angry mob situation.
It was pretty bad. So that was cool. So I said, this is what Warcraft players call kiting the trash. Which is what
it is. Very good.
They just kiting the trash. Anyway, I just heard from my uncle. Who's like, dude, you got called out on something for a thing. It's my personal account. Claire Gack, open up your Twitter to Scott Johnson. That's where I put it. Right. Here's your news here about this Uber here.
Yeah, Uber. We were talking Uber.
That's right. Two men caught in a stolen Uber, which is just a stolen car then, right?
Well, sure. Yes.
I mean, it's like if someone stole your car, Brian, you don't go... Someone stole my Uber.
No, but it just adds the fact that it was hijacked while it was on the job. Like you could say, well, yeah, I stole a taxi. It's still a car, but it was on the job when it got stolen.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You'd still count it, even though it's this gig economy kind of.
Yeah,
weirdness.
I'd say somebody stole my car for sure. I wouldn't say somebody stole my Lyft.
But. Yeah, you'd say, "Dude, where's my car?" Is what you'd say.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, "Dude, where's my car?" Exactly. What's my tattoo say? Sweet. What's mine say?
That movie is so dumb.
It really is.
But I kind of enjoy it if I'm being honest. Anyway, in the news,
and we know Sean William Scott likes to rub you down with butter. Please continue on with the news story.
Yeah, while Fraser Crane pulls little hairs out of my body. What the hell is wrong with my dreams? All right. Here's the deal. Toronto police. They ran into a bit of a weird one. And one of the most bizarre busts of late, two men were caught stealing. They were caught stealing.
when I was five.
When they were, from a grocer and just not any old food staple, but a whole bunch of meat specifically. For some reason, they had a ton of meat. And they had it in a suitcase. So they stole this Uber with a suitcase full of meat. When confronted by a staffer on the scene.
Refrigerated suitcase. It seems yeah. weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they thought that far ahead, but it says here the perpetrators entered the store near Keel and Dundas, whatever that is, some street thing, in December and began taking meat products and placing them into a suitcase they had brought with them. When confronted by a staffer on the scene, one member of the duo began wielding a knife and making threats, after which they were able to quickly flee to the airport, perhaps, with an array of steaks and pork chops in hand. Well, in their suitcase.
Yeah, I can't imagine TSA is going to let you through with a suitcase full of meat. I don't know. I guess it's not a liquid.
No. I mean, what would they do, though? Let's just imagine this scenario.
They'd say, what do you do? This is not refrigerated, so this is going to stink up the cabin. No. I don't know.
And you don't just sneak onto a plane. Like, you have to show them.
I can take jerky onto a plane, but I don't think I could take just raw meat in a suitcase.
That reminds me. I got jerky from, I forgot his name.
From Maro Prime?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got a little packet of follow-up jerky.
Oh, good. I have not gotten mine yet, but I'm sure it's coming.
I haven't opened it yet, but I think it's just whatever we said our favorite was, right? I think that's what he did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Their getaway vehicle of choice was an Uber. Says thankfully to the TPS holdup squad. I don't know what that is. They were able to identify one of the thieves who was also apparently behind a number of other similar crimes in the area. The other suspect.
They need to put a cover on their reports, but other than that.
I agree. Says the other suspect remains at large.
Oh, really? Be on the lookout for a guy carrying Kool-Aid in a tote bag.
Yep. He's probably got the meat sweats. You'll recognize him on site. Ate a lot of meat the other day.
Lots of meat.
In other news, according to the Daily Beast, a woman's body discovered that sparked a police search turned out to be a large potato. Yeah, it wasn't about... Well, it's good. It wasn't a body. We don't care about potatoes.
No, but I feel bad for the woman who people could see a potato and think that's part of her body.
Well,
what?
Have you seen Artie Lang's nose? I would like to
good point.
Point that out. An English dog walker got the shock of her life Tuesday when she stumbled across what appeared to be a human foot protruding from the dirt of a countryside area.
Okay, before you go any further, is she an English person who's a dog walker, or is it a person who only walks English dogs?
That's a terrible sentence.
An English dog walker. I guess there's no hyphen, so we can't put...
You know what? You're right to question it. It's not clear.
I only walk English dogs. I guess that would be an English dog walker who walks English dogs.
And I guess
an
it's
English,
not... A, it, probably
an
not English ultimately...
English dog walker.
Yeah,
an English...
Yeah, but the redundancy is at least descriptive and would have been better.
I only walk Staffordshire Terriers.
Take that, Australia. Take that. Where was I? You're fine.
A foot protruding through the dirt.
Oh, yeah. They thought they had a major crime scene, so they treated it as such. But after a while, someone figured out it was just a potato growing next to a mushroom. That's a bummer.
Yeah,
let's see. Is there a photo of this? There probably is.
This link does not seem to work.
Oh, yeah. It's off on mine, too. What happened, Daily Beast? You guys having a bit of a... Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Error 502. Bad gateway.
I imagine if I look for body potato mushroom. Oh, safe search.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
For some reason, this article is just not on their site anymore. It was there yesterday.
Yeah. It's funny. Google returns two Daily Beast links, neither of which work. But there is a... Nope, this one. Reddit seems to go to the same garbagey link.
Huh.
Claire has a link.
Claire Gack
has a link.
Let's take a look.
Human foot in Gateshead Field turns out to be potato.
Oh, there's the exact photo I saw yesterday, and they just took it off the Daily Beast. So look at that. Yeah, looks like a little. I mean, I guess if I saw that, I might. It looks a little fleshy, but I don't know. I think I'd have taken a closer look before I called the cops.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you got to be... If you look at that and you say, that's a foot, you've got to be looking for a foot.
Yeah.
You know? It's...
Yeah, you would have to say, to me, hey, there's a foot over here. And at first I might go, oh, yes. I guess I can see. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a damn potato.
Exactly. So I'd say the person who discovered it should be a person of interest because they're, you know, they're looking for a foot.
Yeah. What kind of English dog walker is she? Jeez.
That's right.
She's terrible at her job. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some time with our friends Bill and Steven. So that's all coming up in a second. Before that, though, a break of sorts, and it's with music, and Brian brought it. Brian, yeah. What is it?
How about Philly? Let's go to Philly for a group called Soraya. They've got a brand new 7-inch single, the B-side of which is a cover of Aerosmith's Angel featuring Jesse Wagner on vocals. But side one, it's a brand new single. It's called Tight Lipped. This rocks. This is a good way to start off your Monday with some energy and some rock. Here is Soraya and Tight Lipped.
Yo, that Leave It to Beaver line almost killed me.
And we're back, everyone. We're back. I'm in my second watch through of this.
Enough. enough of this. This is horse piss.
Yeah, I can't get enough of it. It's so good.
I like that somebody allure for real said Melania. Wouldn't it be great to imagine that all of the Nadja clips are actually things Melania said in the White House?
Like just this,
I kind of want to listen, re-listen all those clips now.
Like just this week, she was quoted as saying,
"Enough of this. This is horse piss."
Yeah, you could hear it. You could see it. She's pretty tired. She's pretty worn out too. Probably. I don't know.
I love Nadja.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's the great discovery for this show for me. Like everybody, I love everyone. Yeah. They're all amazing.
Yeah.
Nandor is so great. Freaking Colin Robinson can do no wrong. I love everyone. Mm-hmm. But she was the one. So when the show started, I went, oh, are we going to have, like, it's just going to be like a naggy kind of vampire wife. This is a weird thing to add. Okay, I had built-in distrust of how they were going to shake things up. And she completely blew my mind.
Yeah.
She's the best new thing about it. I love her. Love her. I have a huge crush on her now. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem. Yeah. All right. Don't tell my wife. Just kidding. She knows I like
it. Understandable.
All right. What are we doing now? Bill. We're going to talk to Bill.
Okay. All right. Let's talk to Bill.
Saying it until I click it. There we go. Okay. He's on his way in. And when he gets here, we're going to talk about stuff. So here's this right here.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, Bill, to the program. He is Bill Duran of punishprops.com and lives in Seattle where he does cool stuff. He makes things and he comes on here and gives great advice to young burgeoning makers their own selves. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
We haven't talked to you in a whole week. How have you been?
Well, it's been a week, huh?
Yeah, sure has.
Sure has.
I can't believe we're not even to Wednesday yet. It's not even a full week from a very important point in the last week. We're not even a week from yet, which is really weird to think about. But we missed you, and we're glad you're here now. What'd you bring today? What do you got? What do you got in your basket of goodies?
Yeah.
Well, we spent last week working on a fun new project, and we finished it. We've got a new video up on our website at punishprops.com and on our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year ago, I put together a resin kit of the Samaritan revolver from Hellboy.
Yeah.
It was a kit my buddy Harrison over at Vulpen Props put together. It's a really cool kit. It looks awesome. It's all plastic resin. And, of course, this past summer, Adam Savage had to go and make one out of aluminum from scratch.
Just to show everybody up.
Just to shame me.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not totally going
to... Make sure you take that personally, because I'm sure...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
So, Not going to make my own from metal. My own gun, anyway. I really like the gun that I have. However, the bullets, I thought that would be a fun challenge to try and make a replica of those big honking 22 millimeter bullets that he's got using brass and aluminum.
Mm.
It was a good excuse for me to get a little practice on my lathe. So I have a couple of lathes. I have a little woodworking lathe, and then I have a little metal working lathe. And, I got it used. It's the smallest, cheapest, wimpiest lathe you can buy. But it did the trick. It definitely worked. I had to do things a little bit differently than Adam did. He made some bullets on his big honking South Bend lathe. I had to do mine a little differently. The tooling for my lathe is a little different. And also it just doesn't have the horsepower to hog through material like he does. But I made it work. And I'm really proud of how I figured out, especially how to make the bullets. They have that nice rounded profile on them. And I figured out a pretty good way to do that on my wimpy lathe, and it totally worked. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Nice.
By the way,
the ones you had in there before, I just wanted to bring this up real quick. Is it magnets that are holding that tip and then creating the connection that makes the LED go off? Is that what's happening there?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So the ones that I currently have for the resin gun, the bullets and the casings are all plastic.
Yeah.
And I hollowed out the casing so I could fit a battery and a little switch in there that I made using magnets. So the bullet, the clear bullet, has a couple of magnets on it as well. And when you turn it, they swap the which ones are connected, and it turns on a green LED inside of there and makes the bullets light up green, which looks really cool.
That is really cool. Wow. Mm.
So some of Hellboy has a bunch of different type of ammunition. So some of those bullets glow green. Then the ones that I made out of metal, the bullets are made from aluminum. So they're just a solid metal slug.
So it's like silver for the werewolves sort of thing.
Yeah, we could call it silver. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Well, I wonder how much that amount of silver would cost.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to think. Well, I guess you could melt down some forks or something, you know, do it that
way.
That's
true.
Yeah.
That rod of aluminum that I used was about $7 worth of aluminum. And I cut about 2 inches off for the bullet. So that's like less than $1 worth of aluminum. Probably a lot more in silver, I would guess.
I didn't know you could buy aluminum just anywhere in a rod form.
Onlinemetals.com, that's where I go. They're actually local to Seattle, which is pretty cool. But yeah, the aluminum super cheap. Brass, not as much. The similar amount of brass costs about $40.
Jeez.
A little bit more.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot. I mean, if you're making a single replica, no big deal. Like, you make the investment, but
if you're mass producing,
if you're making a bunch of brass bullets,
pretty expensive prospect.
Yeah, especially when you consider that most of the metal is removed and thrown away.
Well, that's that. I'm looking at this metal site. They got everything, man.
Oh yeah, that's a playground. It's so good.
Oh, you could do copper, aluminum, bronze, tool steel, cold rolled steel,
hot rolled steel.
Yeah, hot rolled. Oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So anyway, made the bullet out of aluminum, made the casing out of brass. Now, I haven't worked with brass very much, but it's really neat to work with. I turned it on the lathe. My lathe had no problem with the brass. It's weird. I don't have experience with a lot of different metals, but now I'm starting to get getting to know them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ooh, I like brass. I think I would like to try and make more things out of brass.
Yeah.
Of course, it's the expensive one.
Why is it so expensive? Rarity or what? What's the deal there?
Got me, man. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know it that well yet.
I always thought of brass as like kind of not throwaway metal, but you know, like tin or whatever. It was just common and you know.
It looks gold, but it's a lot cheaper than gold. So
yeah.
It feels like it should be really cheap.
And it's resonant for things like instruments and, you know, trombones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I just figured that was a simple, easy to get metal, but wait, it sounds like it's not. So.
Well, it's easy to get, just a little pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I made it on the lathe, but on the back of the bullet, there is text. It says BPRD for the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense.
Nice.
It says 22 millimeters, and then I think it says DT. I don't know what that stands for, but I added that to the back of the metal casing using acid, which is so much fun.
Oh, wait, you weren't on acid while you did it. You're saying you used acid to do it. Okay. Got it.
I mean,
judge.
Don't do acid and work on with
I
acid, everybody.
Listen to that Jethro Tull album using acid.
Yeah, exactly.
So I made a stencil for the text using my vinyl cutter. Vinyl will resist the acid that I used. I made a stencil.
That's so cool. Then, because basically you just made a like a stencil that
like an airbrush kind of stencil.
Yeah, instead of carving it in, you did the reverse basically. That's cool.
So the acid, a little bit of acid was dumped on the back of it. I put a piece of electrical tape around it to make a little cup for the acid to stay in there. It had to sit on there for about 30 minutes, and I would agitate it with a brush every once in a while. But that acid chews away the text area, making a depression where the text was. And it's really sharp. Like, it looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm super happy with how that turned out.
That's awesome.
I'm looking at you making a blister pack to put this on, which is fantastic.
So that was the original inspiration, the thing I wanted to make. So in the movie Hellboy, near the beginning, when they show up in their trash truck, right? They back up to the building that they're going to go investigate, and they bring out this giant, looks like a huge music road case.
Oh, right.
And on the inside are a bunch of ammo, and the bullets are all individually packaged in little blister packs.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I made one of those too. And it tickles me so much. It makes me so happy.
And I love your vacuform. Like, that is a total custom made vacuform. Yeah. Machine. That's great.
Yeah, it's this tiny one. I got a used toaster oven from the secondhand store for like $8. So that's my heat source. Made a little frame and a little platen, and I got a vacuum hooked up to it. And it's great for vacuum forming most of the things you need, most of the tiny little things you need. Mm-hmm. We have a video on that one, of course, how to make one of those yourself. But I made a little backer card on the computer, drew up all the graphics there and printed that out and stuck it to some cardboard. And then I've vacuum formed a little sheet of PETG to go over the bullet to make a little blister pack and glued it on. And it's that is so awesome. Legit.
So good looking.
That's really cool. Yeah. Gosh dang it. Do you ever want to now? Okay, so you're going to make a whole magazine full of bullets? Are
you going to want to go hang this up at the Walmart and then just like wait in that aisle and see, you know.
Put a price tag on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, making your own blister packs. That's awesome.
It is super fun. I made a second bullet, too. There's on the back of the bullet, there is a primer, I guess. And for the first one, I just sort of carved that in on the lathe to make a couple little circles. But I made another one where I made that part out of aluminum, so it's a different color as well. So
nice.
I had fun with that. I really enjoyed it. I finished it, and while Britt was editing the video, I was like, well, the one I finished is in a blister pack. I can't play with it anymore, so I made a second one.
Yeah, you got to do that. Yeah, you got to have one to pull it out.
Just to fidget with it because it's metal and it's heavy and it feels cool.
You ever worry it'll look so real that people just think, oh, you bought a thing? You know what I mean? Like, you just bought this blister pack.
That's kind of the ultimate compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
But it is like, you know, you do have to remind them, no, I made this. This is like, I didn't pick this up from a prop company. I am the prop company.
Yeah, I am the prop company. Yeah. I made this thing. That's exactly right. That not that that's a problem, but like, it reminds me of like when, certain special effects artists these days. Every show has special effects now. So if you're doing episodes of Better Call Saul, there are visual effects being integrated that you're not even aware of, whether it's bullet pock marks that come out of nowhere that weren't really shot or whatever it may be. The world has something tweaked in it, and it's so subtle you never know. And they're so good at it now that no one ever knows that you did it. So it's just like, well,
every show has set extensions, like a show where two characters are having a conversation on the street.
Mm-hmm.
The background is fake. The background is green screen. Like, you know, you wouldn't even know, though. It looks so good. But almost every single show will do that. They'll just extend a set to make it look bigger.
Yeah. Almost all of them. Like, just boring dramas where people are at a park bench talking. The sky behind them got changed. Or the buildings that are there aren't really there or whatever. And it's never pointed out. It's never meant to be fantastical. And as a result, those effects people just... It's got to be the weirdest job because you're doing some of the coolest work ever. And the goal is to convince people that something's not even happening, but then you just get no credit. You know what I mean? Well, like, because no one noticed.
That's the irony, too. The very best visual effects are the ones that you don't notice.
Yeah.
Like, if you notice that it's a visual effect, it's
not very good. Yeah.
Right. When you say, oh, they have a cave troll, and you're about to watch a major CGI thing that, you know, Peter Jackson and the people down in New Zealand put together, and it's amazing and all that. And it's great. But then if you watch an episode of Game of Thrones and you just didn't know they cut out the city that's a modern city behind that mountain, you just never know. I don't know. It's weird. It's ironic or something. Like rain on your wedding day. All right.
Just like that. Yes.
Ironic is in that scene they actually used a real cave troll. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's funny, right? Yeah, that's what's funny.
Actual genuine cave troll.
Yeah. They got a cave troll
and scale. They're actually really cheap to hire.
Yeah.
Do they have a union or no? They're not part of it or
of course.
Okay. Yeah. They got to have SAG cards.
That's what Saruman was promising them.
Oh, well, now it all makes sense. Bill, this looks great. People can check out this video at punishprops.com. And of course, the YouTube channel, all of it's there. I recommend it. I'm watching it here myself and totally tickled by this particular project and many more just like it. So go check it out. Do you have a bonus piece of linkage for us this week?
Do I ever? So you guys know I love toys and toy photography. A photographer I follow, he goes by the name Sir Dork on Instagram. And his name is Jared Middleton on YouTube. He started doing tutorials for his camera photography. So he put out a video that is toy photography camera settings.
Oh,
and it's really, really good. Yeah.
Oh.
And he has a bunch more that are worth checking out. Jared, I'm going to dive through a lot of these.
I love that stuff. I think you've talked about him before, but maybe. Or someone like this that does. Like,
yeah, I follow quite a few of these guys that do toy photography, and I am into it.
Yeah,
is this
me
the guy
too.
Who did the... I've got a book of Star Wars action figures that are posed and put into scenes like this, and I wonder if this is the guy who does that or if that's somebody else.
It could be one of them. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really, I love that stuff too. That's so cool. Look at all that.
See, this
figures.
Is I've got a bunch of miniatures that I've painted, the Marvel Crisis Protocol miniatures, and I need to do some decent photos of them, not just iPhone photos in front of the stack of paints in the background.
Yeah.
Something
oh,
decent.
Oh, look at those
troopers. Get some firecrackers and stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's
badass. When I was 12, this would have been my obsession. This is
right?
all I would want to do. Oh my gosh, dude. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. All right.
Cool.
As always, good stuff all around. Everyone check all this stuff out. Bill Duran, punishprops.com, Jim Beard on Twitter. Bill, have a fantastic week.
Looking forward to it.
Bye. Ignore the picture of the mushed up nose. I'm going to delete that.
Thank you for now putting that into two of our chats.
I'm going to go ahead and delete that, I think.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Steven time.
Yes.
If you thought Bill was somebody, just wait till you see another guy.
That's right. We have two somebodies on this show today.
That's right. They both count. From the halls and walls of Hayes, Kansas, comes one Steven Schleicher from Majorspoilers.com, who joins us on Mondays, and we talk about the nerdier things in life, often comic book related, but sometimes not. In fact, today we're going to go a little bit different. Steven, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Hello.
How is your second week of the year? Going good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure. Let's say good. Let's say good. It's funny because you can look at the stats of your webpage, browsers, etc.
Sure.
And it's funny. I can look at the stock market and Wednesday afternoon, huge dump. Mm-hmm. I can look at the stats for my website, huge dump. Oh, it was somewhere around the exact same time.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I have a feeling that not a lot has gone on in the last week in the world of comic books, at least.
No. Probably.
So,
although some good ideas for some comic books. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like real world things, when they happen sometimes, my first thought is there are creative writers right now, comics or otherwise, that are sitting around going, all right, how does this turn into a 6-episode miniseries? How does this sort of thing look if there was a superhero involved? Like, you start to think of new scenarios, right? Not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's where your brain goes.
Right. So back in after 9/11, there was a lot of that stuff that came out. In fact, Deus Ex, which is a great comic book series. Ex Machina. That's the one that I'm thinking of. Ex Machina is a great comic book series about a man who gets some mechanical type superpowers. And, you know, the kind of a shock. I think it's the first issue where the first volume ends with the revelation that the thing that is bothering him the most is that he wasn't able to save both of the towers. And so it ends with this big shot of New York with only one of the twin towers standing. But then you also have other things that maybe don't work out so well, where you have a Marvel comic with Dr. Doom crying in the aftermath of the twin towers being taken down. So yeah, I think sometimes you can get some really powerful imagery out of disasters like this. And then other times you can get some really bad takes.
Yeah. Yeah. I worry about the bad takes as well, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know what the comedy world does with some of this stuff. Like, there's just a lot. There's a lot.
Hopefully keep their mouth shut.
Yeah. For a while. They'll figure out or make sure we're punching in the right direction. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Those douchebags. Anyway, hey, let's talk about a thing that we haven't talked about a lot. And that is the top 5 television shows of 2020. Now,
So last week I did my top 5 comic books. This week I'm doing my top 5 television shows because, as previously mentioned, not a whole lot got done last week.
Yeah,
I think most of these you guys have talked about before in some way, shape, or form. Specifically, my number 5, Devs, which is on Hulu.
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
This is a crazy thing that really doesn't start to take shape until I think around episode 4. When you start to discover what's really going on inside the dev's facility. Yes.
I loved every second of it. That is on my list as well. It's probably in my top 2 of the year and one of my favorite series ever. And it's a standalone thing, so it's not something we're expecting a season 2 from, but man, I was hooked all the way through. And when Brian had originally recommended it here on the show, and I hadn't I'd seen it but didn't know what was up and hadn't really thought much about it. I am so glad I watched that. I loved it. It was like made for me. It was great.
I mean, there are so many questions about what is reality, you know, what is virtual reality, all of that stuff that comes up when you finish the whole series that I'm hoping most of our listeners have already watched this. Again, this all came out in 2020. Not going to do any major spoilers on that, but there's a mind twist at the very end, which makes you kind of look at the world a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That number 4, another popular one towards the end of the year, The Queen's Gambit over on Netflix.
I had that on my list. Yeah.
Still
alternating or really changing the way people look at chess. I think the number of chess set sales went up in November and December. Because of this one's really interesting, mainly because of not only the story of our central character, but in the costume design and set design that they do throughout this entire piece, which is something that I don't see a lot of people talking about online. But specifically, when you look at how she's dressed when she's a little girl and she meets the janitor and she's in this lowly position, she's kind of dressed in this dress that kind of flares out at the bottom and she looks like a pawn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you go to the very final episode, when she's walking down the street of the Russian square, she's dressed like a white queen.
That's really cool. I didn't notice that. That's brilliant.
It is the little details like that that really make the Queen's Gambit pay off for me.
I've heard nothing but good things. For whatever reason, I haven't watched it. It's on my list. I'm gonna finally see it. I mean, it's the future Furiosa. What am I even doing here? I got to watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is one that my wife and I binged, and she's not one that likes to watch a lot of heavy TV, but she was into this. And I think we knocked it out in like 2 or 3 days over I think it was Thanksgiving weekend that we watched it. So definitely worth checking out, Scott.
I even like chess. I don't know what the holdup is. I like all the
there
stuff
you go.
This represents. And I read something about the guy that produced it. Took him 40 years or something to get this thing done. Mm-hmm.
As a book, and then it was going to be adapted. And then so many studios were just like, nope, 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 nope. And it sat around and it came back. I think it was NPR, somebody had an interview with him.
Yeah, I think that's where I heard
it. How this got to the big screen.
I think that's where I heard it. And he was like, it was like 40 years trying to do something with it and had given up. He was like, by the end, forget it. But in this world now where, you know, you have interested parties and services like Netflix Prime and everybody else, it was perfect. And apparently they killed it. So I would watch. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm guessing like around award season, this thing gets all sorts of.
For sure.
Definitely. If it's not winning a bunch of Emmys, then, you know, what's wrong?
Yeah. What are we
doing? This is one of the good things that comes out of having streaming services like Netflix, HBO Max, you know, Apple Plus, Disney Plus, is that they need to generate a lot more content, quality content. And so it makes it easier for someone like Queen's Gambit to step up and say, hey, we've got something that's, you know, a limited run series, both devs and Queen's Gambit, both limited runs. Take a chance. What do you got to lose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't.
You don't have anything to lose. Everything to gain.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Number 3, I know you guys have talked about. I don't know how many of you have watched it, and I know Nicole has watched it. Over on Apple Plus, Ted Lasso.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
A series that is just so good in its first season that Apple went ahead and said, you know what? Why don't you do 2 seasons? We're going to green light seasons 2 and 3 because the first season took off so well. And, you know, when you've got movies from Tom Hanks on your Apple Plus service and Scott's favorite Friends actress on Apple Plus, but it's Ted Lasso that is the one that takes off. Definitely worth checking out. When I first started watching, I was like, "Oh, this is just a Major League ripoff. This is them just doing Major League but with soccer." And it kind of is that, but then after about the first 2 episodes, it goes in a very different direction and it's very positive.
That's what we really needed in 2020 was a good, just uplifting, positive show. And that one, you know, just was so filled with like hope for the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad. I mean, there's a lot of tragedy in the show, especially among the main 3 or 4 characters. But there's also that hope, like you said,
that's
Brian,
why it works. Really, really good. That's why it works. The show, mm-hmm. it, it earns its place with the positivity by not being afraid to face down the negativity and do it in a way that's just hopeful and, you know, uplifting. Like the stuff he has to deal with on a personal level without spoiling anything is really hard, and it's made and they earn it on both sides of the coin of the positivity and the negativity. Like, they really earn it. That show freaking rocked, and I can't wait for the next season. So excited.
Number two, obviously no surprise, Disney Plus's Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Boy, did that
good stuff
into the second season really surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, it was,
and a lot has been said.
It's very good. I look, I'm sure there's the haters out there. I'm sure they exist, but they don't exist in my circle. There, that show is fan freaking tastic, and I can't wait for more. It will be interesting though, Steven. I don't know if you've given much thought to this, but the next time we get a proper season of Mandalorian, it will be in and around the shadow of all these other projects that have either spawned from it or are being launched behind it. And that, I don't know what that does to my perception of it, because right now it's like this shining single beacon. It's a tower in the sky that no one else has reached in terms of Star Wars. But now we're about to get flooded with everybody, a bunch of other takes that are similar or in the same universe or spun off from it. And I don't know what that does to my perception. I'm like curious about that, like how that's
Well, a lot of people are, you know, had the thought that, oh, there's too much Marvel. There's too much Marvel. Marvel everywhere. Everywhere I look, there's nothing but Marvel. And that didn't hurt Marvel.
No,
I don't think it's going to hurt Star Wars, because the Star Wars stuff is being spread out, especially all the High Republic stuff that was announced the last couple of weeks. That stuff is going to be so spread out over so many different formats and mediums that it's not going to be a huge drain unless you're actively going out and trying to watch every single thing.
Yeah. It's a hell of a thing though. Season two is so good, you guys.
Brandon White says, I'm more sad that this may be the end of the Grogu and Mando story. I honestly think that the very first scene is going to be, you know, we see the flashback of what happens to Grogu at the end of The Mandalorian. And then we just smash cut to both Grogu and The Mandalorian inside a new ship. And The Mandalorian is just like, you just couldn't follow directions for one day, could you?
How do you get expelled from Jedi Academy?
Yeah,
it's funny. I did an arcade machine that was based around Mandalorian, or a drawing of one. And I don't know why I didn't think of this, but everybody out there, it's two player, has two joysticks, two sets of buttons. Mm-hmm. And the joysticks are just normal joysticks with a ball on there. And everyone wrote and said, dude, what are you doing? Those should be those little silver balls he can't get enough of. In fact, actually, maybe one of them's missing. You should have one of them missing.
I was going to say, the joysticks should be missing. Like, it should just be the open screw without the ball on top.
Exactly. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm going to fix that before I print any of them, but what a dumb thing to miss, because it's, like, perfect. But, that's such, such a good time.
Here we come to my favorite television show of 2020 off of HBO. Of course, I watched it on HBO Max, so if you run through my whole list, almost every streaming service was represented except for Amazon Prime.
Really?
Lovecraft Country.
Mm.
This was the adaptation of the Matt Ruff book, but it went in a totally different direction. I mean, it stayed faithful to the book for the most part, but it delved into a lot more of what does it mean to be a person of color and dealing with horror, especially cosmic horror, when every day you're living the horror of racism in Jim Crow America. And this stuff has cosmic horror. It's got your Cthulian monsters. It's got, our heroes taking on the villains at all odds. And it's dealing with a lot of themes, from coming out to being possibly, you know, I think there's themes of transgender in the show, as well as just being somebody who is black in the 1950s America. So Lovecraft Country, if you haven't seen that, it is fantastic. There's definitely some body horror stuff. If you're someone that doesn't like stuff that might make you squeamish, you might want to avoid it. But it is a fantastic television show.
Yeah, it's
my favorite of 2020.
Oh, really? So I guess you did say it was your number one. It's a hell of a ride, that show. Brian, you haven't seen it yet?
No, not yet. No, it's on the list, but we have not watched it yet.
I would put so here's just a couple I would add to it. I would put The Boys on there. Which is a Prime, or Amazon Prime thing, or Boys season 2. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. And it pissed me off at the same time, but it was great. And I would add this much as there, this much I know is true. The short mini series, Mark Ruffalo did.
Mark Ruffalo. He also,
it was an amazing, amazing, acting, incredible performances all around. That was an incredible thing. Brian, would you add anything to this?
I'd add, Queen's Gambit was at the top of my list. It's funny because Scott had his list in there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be on my list. That would be on my list. Oh, yeah, Devs would be on my list. Panda would be on my list.
It's so hard to
do. You took five that I probably would have had like easily in my top 10.
Yeah.
I'd add Little Fires Everywhere, which was Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. Really, really clever and dark show. I think Hulu, I want to say. And I'd add The Great, which I know Scott is currently watching.
It's awesome.
It was my recommendal from last Wednesday. And
it's really good.
It's so good. It's, you know, it's Catherine the Great, but told in a different way and kind of embellished a little bit. I don't think they invented suggestion boxes in
And they put even say at the top in the logo like a mostly true whatever. I forget what it says, but it's great. Yeah. It's very good. My wife's loving it.
I'd add Run, which is oh my God, I'm forgetting both of their names. My God. The woman who's so great on Nurse Jackie.
Oh,
and and dude from Ex Machina.
Right. I know both these people, and I can't think
Merritt
of her
Weaver
name.
Is the woman.
Merritt Weaver.
And the guy was, what was his name? Nux in Star
Nux,
Wars?
General Nux. He's Hux. The son of Hux. Yeah. Whatever.
Dom Hall Gleason. It is Dom Hall Gleason.
Yeah, it's the son of the other Gleason everyone loves. Old guy. Old guy Gleason.
But that was just like a really quirky, quick comedy that if you haven't seen is worth checking
some
out.
People
that's also on.
People in the chat are saying, hey, Expanse. No, we know, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm sure. But also that's 2021. That's right now. So that's
and
happening.
Fargo.
And Fargo. Oh, yeah. Fargo's on there. Fargo. What We Do in the Shadows is on there. Technically season two ended in 2020. That show is just in me now. It's just in my blood now. No pun intended with vampires, but gosh dang it, it's great. I freaking love it. I want to live with those people, and it's just so weird. It's so good. What else? We missing anything that's great? I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
There's a good year is the point.
It's a good year. Away is really good. I had that on my list, but only, you know, it's deep on my list just because so many other good ones were above that. Doom Patrol, season two of Afterlife with Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah. How was that? It was good.
Oh, so good. That whole series is just so sweet. Bittersweet is like the best description of that. If you liked, what was his?
Derek.
If you liked Derek, you'd like this.
I liked Derek a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Derek was
check
great.
Out Afterlife.
Yeah. Derek made my daughter cry, which is always my goal. So do what I can. Well, Steven, this is good stuff. Good stuff to talk about. Who knows what next Monday will bring? We don't know.
Well, I know we'll probably be talking about WandaVision. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, WandaVision debuts this week, so people go and check that out. People who have seen the first three episodes are just raving about how great WandaVision is.
Really? Oh, good. You
know, yeah, I have not seen... I think probably the lowest negative review is it's okay. It's better than I thought it was going to be. And then everyone else is just like, the first three episodes are fantastic. I can't wait to see what other people say about this.
Now, it's an official Friday debut.
I believe so.
Does that mean it's going to be up to Thursday night at 10 or something?
Yeah. I think they release a midnight on West Coast time. So I think that's what they did with Mandalorian. I think that's what they're going to do. With WandaVision. So if you want to stay up until 2 a.m., Brian, to watch WandaVision.
No, but I'll watch it. I am going to watch it first thing Friday morning. Listen, it's been a year without Santa Claus and a year without Marvel, without the MCU. So So I'm totally excited for it.
Yeah.
Yep. We can definitely talk WandaVision with spoilers next week if people want to do that. I have no problem. And if you're interested in what the rest of the Major Spoilers crew think about other forms of media, throughout 2021, we're going to be taking a look at other stuff on the Major Spoilers podcast. We've got Wonder Woman 1984 coming up next week on the show, we'll be taking a look at the Harley Quinn animated series on HBO Max, which is very, very good. We'll be looking at the first season of Young Justice on HBO Max and a bunch more throughout the year. So go check that out.
Yeah, Young Justice. Is that premiered yet or no? The new season?
No.
Or,
oh, you're thinking of Teen Titans?
Oh, am I thinking? Maybe
we're thinking about that. I'm talking about that Young Justice animated series.
Oh, the animated series, right? Had Aqualad and everybody in it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I loved that show.
It was really good. And a lot of people have not watched that.
So there are new seasons of that or no?
I don't think so. I think they've got one more season coming up, but I don't know what the current status is.
Okay. Man, I couldn't believe how good those were. I mean, Aqualad is so dumb, and it's just in the name alone, it's so dumb. But that ended up being so good. He's one of the best characters in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Young Justice, you guys. Very good. All right, Stephen, fantastic to talk to you. We'll see you next week for another edition of Stephen Hangs Out With Us. We'll see you then.
Stay hydrated.
Bye now. All right. Cool. Ryan, we have one thing left to do today.
Thing left to do.
It's a mashup. And it's called Get Off of My Plane. I have a feeling this will have something to do with FilmSack and our coverage of Air Force One. But we'll find out together when I push this button.
You take your chicken, you take their egg, you put it in a cookie batch.
That's the facts of life.
Morning stream delivered right to your ear holes about an hour before dinner. Enjoy it.
Because I'm not cool like Brian. Oh, geez. That went right up my hole.
Perfect. Yeah,
that's where you want it. Right up your hole.
Big Sir has been a big pain in my butt.
Has it really? I haven't had any problems.
Are you experiencing any crashing?
My name is Kate Jenkins.
Shut up. Anybody ask you nothing?
I'm going to go practice putting lighter fluid on my grill with my long penis. Python eggs in cookies.
Step away from the cabinet.
Please drop your weapon.
You have 30 seconds to comply.
Yeah, what's wrong with Long? Jeez.
Long like a penis. Who's the little redhead? The orphan? Little orphan Annie.
Orphan Annie?
Who was the little orphan?
Who's the little orphan redhead named Annie? Wasn't there a little orphan named Annie something?
Ooh, man. Adults only.
Right.
Man,
right.
Do you see them titties?
I recognize a Peanuts cartoon immediately because a Peanuts cartoon is a Peanuts cartoon and will never
be. Sounds like you're saying a penis cartoon.
Yeah, penis.
Well, I mean, you got to recognize a penis cartoon.
I mean, I was saying everybody penis, does. But I don't know what you
can
guys
you see it?
Around.
Can you
see the penis cartoon?
I was absolutely talking about a penis.
That's very realistic.
Is he a bad guy?
He's a bad guy. Spoiler alert, he's a bad guy.
Is he a great big bad guy? Is that what he is?
Is he a bad guy? Bad guy, right? Bad guy. Not bad guy?
Pop guy? Pop guy.
Popeye bad guy?
My favorite part is...
You have a favorite part?
I have a favorite part. My favorite part is the
penis.
Fact that I can...
Oh, sorry.
That's my favorite. That's absolutely my favorite part. But after that...
Shit. Oh, no. You suck. Jerry Goldsmith, our most prolific FilmSack composer.
You better get off my plane. You better get off my plane.
I knew this was going to happen to my brother.
Give you a parachute and wrap a cord around your neck, and then you go get off my plane.
Now I get the title. I get it now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done, Jamie. As always, you're a hoot. Don't pollute. Okay. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for being here. It's the end of our Monday broadcast. However, we'll be back tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. It's a normal week, so tune in and be a part of it each and every day. If you want to be here live, those listening at home, you're like, man, I sure want to try the live experience. You can do that. Just head on over to frogpants.tv and be here at 9 a.m. in the Mountain Time Zone. That's when we start. If not, it'll still be on the podcast. Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. Great way to support the show and the content you love. And for everything else, we are at frogpants.com/TMS. Send us your emails too, themorningstream@gmail.com. We get tons of them, but keep that coming because we like to see how you guys are doing and how you're feeling. All right, Brian, that's it. Let's play a song!
Yes, you know what won't be in my top five? Cobra Kai season 3, because it's the garbage that I just can't not watch. Mm. I can't stop watching it, but it isn't good.
It really isn't very good.
There's something so compelling and can't look away about it.
It's like they took the WB model, but then coded it in 80s nostalgia, and then they made that so that we can't avoid watching. Yes. Like, we have to see it. It's so weird. Right.
Have you seen season 3 yet?
No, I'm seeing up to 2. And again, I'm not, chat room's going to take issue with this. We're not saying that this is terrible television. That's not what we're saying. And correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but what I'm saying is it's kind of basic in what's going on, and it's very formulaic, sort of kind of soap opera a little bit, but it's painted in a way that is, we're all eating it. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it. It's just we know what it is. It's popcorn, and it isn't great for us, but we love eating it. That's all.
It's 90210 taken from the Karate Kid universe. And I'm blown away. There's one cameo that you kind of expect in season three.
Yeah.
But then there's a couple more that you get that you just can't believe.
Oh, no. Like the tell me, please, that it's the corpse of Mr. Miyagi. No?
Reanimated Weekend at Miyagi's.
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel-san.
It's not.
They got the old
corpse of Pat Morita. Fantastic. Can't wait.
Yes, just wait for that. All right. Let's get to today's request. This one comes to us from William Marfan on the Cool Tiras EU.
Nice.
I was going to say from the chat room, but it's a Warcraft thing. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Ibbett, greetings. I've been listening to TTMMSS on and off since the start, and I've listened to Scott mispronouncing things since ELR.
Wow.
I was going to request a song for my 40th birthday on the 20th of June, but then I heard that the average person listening to you was 39 and a half years. I guess that's me right now. I'm not sure what to request, but I trust Brian will be able to find a good song. I've been pleasantly surprised so many times by the width of all the songs you find. Brian, so maybe a weird one you don't think anyone will request. I've been able to listen to all your shows, but I have been trying to listen to Tuesday and Thursday ones and TMS PM, of course. I hope you and the Tadpoolers all have a very nice 2021. I see why you like it.
Oh,
William from Sweden.
We should probably play that. It's right here. I can see.
I don't. No,
that's not it.
I can definitely see why you like it.
There you go.
There you go. He says anything my choice, but maybe something with or about buses. Hold on, he didn't mention buses at all in his in his letter, but the follow up said anything, you know, something with or about buses.
I'm super curious about this, but let me ask you this: did he say 39 or 40? What's he turning?
He's turning 40 in June, but he's 39 and a half right now.
All right, I want to play this for him since he's turning 40 here.
I've had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
Okay, there. I was just trying to find some reference to 40. That's all I had. So enjoy.
If that clip doesn't sum up 2020 in one word. Let's get to a cover of my favorite bus-related song. This is originally by the Hollies. It's a song called Bus Stop. Now, this was recorded for a very short-lived ABC television series called American Dreams. It was like a love story, family drama with the backdrop of music at the time in the 60s and 50s and 60s. And they had special guest musicians come on and perform as the old bands, like on American Bandstand or things like that in the background of the show. So it was like centered around the music of the time. Fountains of Wayne came on and appeared as the Hollies on this show. So of course, featuring the late, great Adam Schlesinger, who we lost last year, sadly. Here is Fountains of Wayne from the American Dreams soundtrack with our cover of the Hollies, Bus Stop.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bus stop, what day she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. Other people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. That's the way the whole thing started. Silly, but it's true. nice to think that that umbrella led me to a vow. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. Bus stop, where day she's there, I say, please share my umbrella. Bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Food that is fresh.